Hello, folks. Welcome to the podcast. This episode is sponsored by Spoken. They specialize in helping busy people improve their English in a very convenient way, because with Spoken, you can get tailored and flexible English lessons from your teacher delivered directly to your phone with messaging services like WhatsApp or WeChat or Viber or Facebook Messenger. It's like having an English teacher in your pocket, but smaller. Obviously, it's not like having a full-size English teacher in your pocket. That would be very inconvenient. You wouldn't be able to do anything, would you? You'd be like, are you coming to work? No, I can't come. Why not? I've got an English teacher in my pocket. I literally can't leave the house. It's really inconvenient. That's ridiculous, Luke, isn't it? Yes, it is. Sorry, don't try to be funny during sponsorship promos in the future. Okay, I won't. Anyway, really, you should check out Spoken because it's really cool. And it is a bit like having an English teacher in your pocket, but even more convenient than that because it's all done through your phone with messaging apps. And the guys at Spoken are offering you 2 free lessons and then 20% off all of their courses, which is a pretty good deal. To check it out, just to get your free lessons and to see what you think, go to getspoken.com/LEP or just click a Spoken logo on my website. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the podcast. How are you doing today? I hope you're doing all right out there in podcast land. As usual, you're probably sitting on a bus, just minding your own business, and you've decided to listen to a new episode of the podcast. Oh, look, a new episode. I think I'll listen to it. Well, here we are. It's actually happening. Maybe you're not on a bus. You might be in any manner of situations. But anyway, wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever it is that you're doing, welcome to this new episode. In this one, I'm continuing to talk about how I make episodes of this podcast. And this whole thing is a response to a question sent to me by a listener called Carlos from Barcelona. Hello there, Carlos. I hope you're still listening. In the last episode, I was kind of making up loads of nonsense about how you've gone missing. But anyway, do get in touch, Carlos, because here I am responding to your question about basically how do I make the podcast. In the last episode, I was talking about the creative side of coming up with ideas and then making them into podcast episodes, and how you could take those sort of methods and apply them to other things as well. So how to come up with ideas. Not that I know exactly what I'm doing, but a few listeners have asked me about this over the years, and I thought it would be interesting to answer those questions and just generally lift the lid on Luke's English Podcast and let you see how episodes are recorded. I'm also actually presenting language to you here too. Later on, I'll be going through this episode and the previous episode, picking out certain bits of language and then explaining them and teaching them to you. The plan is that will be in the next episode, okay? That's going to be some technical vocab, some phrases with get, and just any other nice bits of language which I think are worth kind of highlighting for you, okay? But in this one, the plan is to talk about the technical side of doing the podcast. And I have to say, I'm having my reservations about this now. I'm having a few reservations. Now, the reason for that is that I think the creative side, just coming up with ideas, I think that's probably a bit more interesting than the technical stuff. And that probably included tips that you might be able to apply to other things in your lives, like doing presentations or just creating your work. But I'm not entirely sure about the technical stuff. The stuff about how I record. I'm not entirely sure if that's directly applicable to you, but perhaps I'm wrong. I mean, Carlos did ask about it. He did specifically ask about, you know, the software and the hardware that I use. And a number of other people have asked me about this in the past. So, you know, there must be some interest in this. And I'm sure that actually plenty of you out there are interested in the technology and things like that. So, okay. Let's go. Let's do this then, right? Now, the thing is, right, since I'm a little bit concerned that this is going to be slightly boring, right? I mean, it's not going to be boring. It's going to be amazing, of course. But there's a little part of me which is like, oh, maybe people aren't going to be that interested in microphones. So because I'm slightly worried about that, I've decided to spice things up a little bit by including a few short anecdotes at regular intervals throughout the episode, okay? So the idea is that that will just relieve the potential boredom slightly. But again, who knows? Anyway, so, you know, what's going to happen is I'll be talking about microphones and ways of recording and technology and hardware and stuff like that throughout the episode. And then every now and then, just to keep the interest up, I will tell you a quick story, okay? And this is going to be a kind of a lying game, all right? The idea is that I'm going to tell you a little story every now and then, and the anecdotes that I'm going to tell you, they might be true, and they might be completely untrue, and you have to guess, okay? So watch out for the little anecdotes that are going to be interspersed throughout the episode, and I want you to try and work out if they're true or not, and I will tell you the answers at the end, okay? Ooh, suddenly this has got slightly more exciting. Not that much more exciting, but just maybe slightly more exciting, hasn't it? Yes, of course it has. Good. Also, language as well. As I mentioned, there will be some technical language and phrases with get and all that stuff. Actually, I've been talking about technical language and things. Actually, you know, after I've kind of reviewed this stuff and thought about it a bit, I don't think that there's that much technical language, to be honest. Which is a little bit surprising. I guess it's because I'm not really going into all of the engineering and the physics of how sound is created and captured. I'm not really going into all that stuff in a really advanced way. Really, when it comes to using the hardware, Carlos, really it's just a question of just plugging things into other things. That's it, to plug something in. It's just you plug something into another thing, and then you turn it on, and that's it. And then you unplug it, and you plug something else into something else. It's just plugging things in. That's really the extent of my technical know-how. You know, I know that if I plug this into this, then this happens. And then if I plug that into that, then that happens. So I guess here's a little overview of some of the main technical expressions that you're going to get. So you've got plug in. Like I plug in the microphone, I plug it in. Plug into, I plug the microphone into the computer. Unplug, which is like the opposite of plug in. Unplug, I unplug it or I unplug it from the computer. To monitor as a verb, to like use headphones to monitor the sound as I'm recording it. Backup as a verb as well. And a noun. So I back up the recording, meaning I kind of make a kind of save the recording. I think you know that one, right? To back something up in the cloud, to do a backup of your computer, just means to save like all of your files in another hard drive, to back something up. Or make a backup. So a backup is a noun as well. To distort. Distort. So I try to make sure that the sound doesn't distort. You have to control the levels of the microphone to make sure that the sound doesn't distort. If you want to hear what distorted sound sounds like, it sounds like this. Can you hear that? This is no, that's not going to work. Hold on, let me try and no, I can't do it because it's going to blow your head. That's it. There you can hear distorted sound. It's probably really noisy. Anyway, that's to distort. I have to try and make sure the sound doesn't distort. So we've got distort. We also have the word distortion, which is the noun. So you hear lots of distortion. If the microphone level is too high, you start to hear distortion like that. The next word is interference. That's like, for example, when you get background noise. Let's say if you've plugged in your microphone, but it's not plugged in properly, you might get like a kind of noise. It's not a mosquito or a fly. It's like digital interference. Interference. We've got to crash, like for example when software crashes. That's when you're using a piece of software and it just goes and it just stops working, it freezes and crashes, and you get the umbrella of doom, you know, the multicolored umbrella of destiny. No, the multicolored umbrella of doom, which is what happens on an Apple Mac when the software crashes, you just get this circle, this like multicolored circle spinning round. Ah, that's horrible. So when the software crashes, and then other phrases like phantom power, which is not some kind of supernatural force. This is just the power which is provided to a microphone from an amplifier. But it does sound cool, doesn't it? Phantom power. And then compression. Compression is basically a way of processing audio to make it a bit more awesome. Okay, it's like if you've got a piece of audio, like audio that's being recorded by microphones, you can put it through some compression units and they sort of process the audio to make it sound better. They raise some of the quiet parts and reduce some of the loud parts and everything sounds much better. Compression. It's also compression, or to compress, is also the word used for the process of turning big files into smaller files, like, for example, when MP3s are created. MP3s are basically compressed audio files. Then we've got EQ settings. EQ means equalizer. This is the way of controlling the frequency of sound. So if you, you know, like a, if you've got a good stereo system, you might have an EQ control, which allows you to raise the level of the bass, the middle, and the treble frequencies. So the EQ control or EQ settings. And then you've got bass, middle, treble. Different types of microphone and stuff. And that's pretty much the extent of the technical stuff, as you will see in this episode. What is more prevalent in this one is just the usual general English. And I mean all the usual verbs, prepositions, and parts of speech, with a few tricky bits like some phrasal verbs and some fixed expressions or idioms. So that's actually a lot more prevalent in my descriptions of my software and hardware, just all the usual general English. There's also grammar as well. Watch out for the way that I explain how the technology is set up. For example, am I using a passive form or an active form? And why is that? How do I talk about the processes of doing the recording and everything? Is there any language of cause and effect? For example, I'm trying to explain my audio recording setup in a way that's easy to understand, putting it in plain English. So there might actually not be loads and loads of impenetrable technical jargon, actually. So anyway, I'll be going through language that I've picked out later on, all right? At this rate, I'm pretty sure that will be in part three. That'll be in a third episode. But I'm definitely going to do it, all right? So, you know, watch out. Language is coming soon. But keep your ears open for bits of language that you think I'll probably be explaining later, including those phrases with get, okay? Now, okay, so let's see if I can go through this without boring your pants off, okay? And if by the end of this episode you're still listening, you're still alive, and your pants are still attached, then I would consider that to be a success, okay? All right, so let's now look at the practical ways to record yourself and other people, and then how to get those recordings online for other people to listen to. Let's lift the lid on Luke's English podcast so you can see how it's all done, kind of thing. So I'd like to ask you a question at this point. I'd like to ask you, how would you do it? All right, how would you do it? Imagine you, in your situation, with the tools that you have at your disposal, how would you do these things? Let's say you want to just record yourself. Let's say you want to record yourself. Maybe you're in your flat, you're at home. Maybe you've got the window open because it's a warm day. There might be street noise outside. Possibly you've got the washing machine running in the background. How would you just record yourself and get a decent recording? Now, how about this situation? Let's say you want to record you and another person. You might want to just record an interview or conversation with another person. How would you do that? How would you do it if you were outdoors or in a public place? Let's say you're in the park or you're even in a pub or something and you want to record a conversation with a person there. How would you do that? How about if you've got several people? Let's say there's three of you, you're sitting around a table. How are you going to record everyone's voices clearly as well? Now, I imagine that for most of you, unless you are a podcaster yourself or unless you're involved in sound recording, you would probably just use your phone or use your computer, right? You'd probably just put your phone on the table, open up a recording app. Most smartphones have got some sort of app that allows you to record your voice. You just open that, you hit record, and you leave the phone on the table and you just have your conversation and that's it, right? That's probably what most of you would do. And to be honest, often that's good enough. And loads of people do that. Loads of people who are doing their own podcasts, they just, you know, put the phone on the table and they just record the thing like that. Or you might have like a little dictaphone, maybe a fairly cheap little voice recording dictaphone, the kind of thing that you would use to record a lecture at university. You might just put that on the table and do it like that. Okay, and often that is fine, but for good results every single time, to get like really clear audio every single time, and to have the option to record multiple people properly capturing their voices at equal volume, then you will need more equipment. And I personally think it's worth recording with good quality sound. I could, you know, do all my episodes just with the inbuilt microphone on my computer and do it like that, like I used to back in the early days of the podcast. But I actually think that it's worth taking time and putting a bit more effort into the recording process, because I think that it allows you, if my podcast episodes are recorded properly, it allows you to hear words more clearly. And it's just more pleasant to listen to. I think it has a subconscious effect. You might not even realize it or think about it. You might not really be thinking about the quality of sound that you're listening to. It might just not be something that's on your radar. But I think it has a subconscious effect. I think it. I think that you'll find that good quality audio is in hand with the innate enjoyment that just comes from listening to podcasts or radio. Because listening to, let's say, a podcast, if you're on the bus or when you're just, you know, on the sofa or you're doing your ironing or whatever, you've got your headphones on, probably in most cases. Maybe you're in the car, something like that. Listening to a podcast is often quite an intimate experience. You're just listening to a voice talking to you across the airwaves or across the internet. And it's quite an intimate, personal experience. So really, you want the technology to allow that to happen as much as possible. You want the technology to really make the most of the medium, which is that you've got this intimate personal connection between what you're saying and the person who's listening. So you want the audio to be rich and warm. It really just makes the most of that intimate connection that you have. There are some podcasts out there on the internet that I listen to that could be absolutely great. You know, they've got good content, good presenters, everything's good, good, good. But the problem is that the audio sucks. And as a result, you just can't really listen to it. You can't really listen to it on the bus because it's not clear enough or loud enough. You can't get that lovely close sound that allows you to get the most out of the people that you're listening to. So, there, you know, I've come across a number of podcasts like that. I'm not naming any names, but some that are the recording quality is just not quite good enough, and as a result, you know, you don't listen to it because you can't listen in a noisy environment or on the bus or something. Now, radio stations and broadcasters like the BBC, they've got proper studios, right? They've got these soundproof studios where, you know, inside the studio it's basically silent. They have, you know, soundproofing in there, and they've got really good quality microphones, like high-end top quality microphones, and loads of hardware for processing and compressing the sound and boosting the sound and everything like that. Really the top kind of stuff that you can get. But most podcasters obviously don't have that kind of thing, you know, especially if it's a podcast made in someone's own home. If you don't have access to a studio, then you won't have that kind of thing. So the question is there something that you can do which is somewhere between just putting your phone on the table and paying loads and loads of money to use a professional studio? What is the kind of middle point between those two things? So here are some options, all right, for people who want to like record themselves and maybe publish podcast episodes at home. And these are the options that are available to me, and also options that I have used in the past. Like when I first started doing the podcast, my recording setup was really basic. I just had my laptop. And then bit by bit, I've sort of developed and I've purchased more and more equipment. And I've learnt, you know, more and more about doing this kind of thing. I think that the podcast could still sound better than it does now, but I've, you know, I've sort of learnt about the different hardware that you can use and software as well. So here are the options. You can either use a computer or a phone. You can use like a computer like that, or you can use a recording device, like a dedicated recording device. So either your computer or a device, okay? So starting with a computer, you could have, like the most basic way to do it is just have your laptop or maybe a desktop computer or something. You just open up your laptop and you use the inbuilt microphone. Like most laptops have a little camera and a little microphone built into the thing, and it's just above the screen. And we use these for Skype calls and stuff like that. So there's a little inbuilt microphone on the laptop. So you could just open up your laptop and use that inbuilt microphone with some software. So software that you use to record audio would be, if you're using an Apple Mac like I do, then it would be something like GarageBand or Audacity, which is a free program that you can download from the internet. Or it would be QuickTime, which allows you to record as well. So a bit of software and just the inbuilt microphone on your computer. Now, the problem with that is that it's, you know, the sound quality is not that great. I mean, it's all right, it's doable, but it's not that great. And the other problem is that if you're recording into the computer with software, that the software sometimes goes wrong. Like I said before, sometimes software crashes. For whatever reason, you might get the spinning umbrella of doom, and then you lose all the stuff you recorded. So software can be a bit unreliable. And if you're just using the inbuilt microphone, the sound quality will be poor. I'm going to give you an example now of a recording I did with the inbuilt microphone on my laptop, so you can just hear what it sounds like. Hello, so this is me recording into the laptop with the inbuilt microphone. I don't know if you can hear that there's a bit of rain going on outside. I've got the window open, which might mean you can hear a bit of outside noise. But this is it, right? This is how it sounds. It's not great, is it? But, I mean, it's probably good enough. I could probably do it like this all the time, but I choose not to. But anyway, this is what it sounds like through the laptop's inbuilt microphone.
Okay. So there you go. That was the laptop's inbuilt microphone. You can see that it's pretty basic recording that everyone can do. But honestly, I'd rather get better quality sound. It sounds a little bit distorted, and it's, you know, you're not capturing the full range of sound that comes from someone's voice. Then your next option is to use your laptop again and software, like I said before. But instead of using the inbuilt microphone, you can use a USB microphone. So these are microphones which just plug into the computer with a USB connection. Maybe the most famous one would be the Yeti Pro by Blue, which is a really popular USB microphone. If you've ever seen any of my videos, sometimes I have the My Yeti Blue microphone sitting on the shelf behind me. It's kind of a silver thing. It's quite big. It looks like an old-fashioned microphone from the 50s or something, kind of silver retro looking thing. And so there's those. I've also got a couple of other USB microphones, like the cool thing about them is that they're really, really convenient. You just plug it straight into the computer with USB, you select that microphone, and then you use the software on your computer and you record your voice, and it's much better quality. So the sound is better. Also, USB microphones are really quite cheap. You can get a decent USB microphone for like £50. The Yeti Pro is about £100, but you can buy other microphones that plug in via USB for about £50, and you'll get good results from that. So they're cheap. The quality is much better than the inbuilt microphone. But the problem is that you can't record multiple people with the right results that you want. Because you've just got one microphone, you can't plug two USB microphones into your computer without having some other device to help you do it. So that means that you end up, if you've got two people, you both have to talk into the same microphone, which can be a bit awkward. You're both kind of like leaning over, your faces are kind of close to each other, you're talking into the same microphone. So that, that's a bit awkward. And sometimes when you're both talking into the microphone, you tend to get one person being louder than the other person. For example, in episode 100 of this podcast, I used my Yeti Pro microphone sitting on the coffee table in front of my brother and me. Episode 100 was called Going to the Pub, and it was like everything you need to know about going to the pub in the UK. All the language and all the different references and cultural things, the ins and outs, the do's and don'ts of going to the pub. It's a good episode. You should listen to it. But the thing is that James was like, he kept leaning away from the microphone to smoke cigarettes. And as a result, half the time he's over here like this. He's over here and I'm over here. So it sounds like he's on the other side of the room, and it kind of he is on the other side of the room. If he had his own microphone, that would never have happened. So the problem is with these USB microphones is that it's difficult to get more than one person recorded to the right volume level that you want. And also added to the fact that you're recording using software, and as I said before, software on your computer sometimes crashes. Also, USB connections occasionally fail, and you find that there's, you know, you do a recording with a USB microphone, you listen back to it, and there's interference because the USB connection was playing up, and there's like interference. And I've done recordings before and listened back to it, and not only was there interference, like kind of digital interference, also sometimes the recording skipped because the connection was dodgy. So that, you know, that sometimes happens. But all in all, a USB microphone plugged into your computer can give you really good results. Here's an example now. I'm going to play you an example of me speaking into a USB microphone made by Samsung. Not Samsung, the Korean company, but Samsung, S-A-M-S-O-N. And this is a Samsung Q2U USB microphone, which you can get on amazon.co.uk for about £50. And the results are pretty decent, as you can hear now. This is me recording on a USB microphone. I've got it plugged into the laptop. So it's a microphone plugged into the laptop through USB. I'm holding it in my hand. It's got a muffler on the top. Without the muffler, it sounds like this. And if I say plosive sounds, like British English plosive sounds, then it probably makes a horrible distorted explosive sound. I'm now putting the muffler back on. Probably hearing noise of the muffler going back on, and that's what it sounds like. Now, I mean, I think it's pretty good, right? I mean, it does sound pretty good. It doesn't sound great. I mean, if you really pay attention, it doesn't have quite the same depth, and also it might sound a bit distorted at times. Also, can you hear this? This is the sound of my hands moving on the microphone, and this particular microphone, which is a Samsung, S-A-M-S-O-N, Q2U USB microphone. This particular one just picks up lots of handling noise. So it's basically all right if I need to do a quick bit of recording, but it's not my preferred one, but it's convenient, and it's better than the laptop's inbuilt microphone. So this is an example of a USB microphone. Pretty good. So there you go. Not too bad. In fact, I use that USB microphone a lot when I just want to do a quick little bit of recording, like if I need to record the sponsorship promo at the beginning of the episode, or if I need to just add something in later in post-production, I'll just plug the USB microphone in and just do it like that. Also, they're really good for Skype calls, and they just improve the audio of your Skype calls massively because, you know, you just plug it into USB and Skype recognizes the microphone, and then you can do it like that. And in fact, when I talk to my dad and my brother these days over Skype, the quality's better because I recently bought them USB microphones. I bought one for my dad and I bought one for my brother, so they've both got USB microphones at home, and so when I call them on Skype, they sound really good. And if you listen to recent episodes of the Rick Thompson Report, then I hope you notice that the quality of his voice was really good. It's like he's just there in the room. You can hardly even notice it's on Skype. It's like we're next to each other. It's brilliant. I did an episode with James not long ago, which I haven't published yet, but he's using the USB microphone and it sounds great. It's like he's just there. I'm really happy with it. You heard me mention something about mufflers, right? Now, a muffler is like a sponge thing that goes over the end of the microphone. You've seen them, you know, on the news. When you have a reporter, I'm a reporter in the street speaking into a microphone with a muffler on the top. You know, that kind of thing. like it's like a sponge thing on the top of the microphone. They're really important because they help to prevent your mouth, prevent the air that comes out of your mouth from distorting the sound. Because if you, when we speak, you know, especially when we make sort of plosive sounds like p and b sounds and t sounds and things like that, if you don't have something protecting the microphone, it can just make it sound like the thing's exploding. So a muffler is really important. Also, you might use a pop screen, which is what you see in music studios. You see the singer with their eyes closed, holding onto the headphones, because that's obviously that's how you sing really well, isn't it? In the studio, you close your eyes, you hold onto the headphones with both your hands, and you sing into the microphone like this, and you have a pop screen, which is like a sort of circle with a thin layer of material between your mouth and the microphone, and that just prevents the plosive sounds as well. All right, so that's mufflers. Okay, how are you doing? You all right? There's an anecdote coming very soon. Okay, anecdote number one is coming in just a second, and remember, you have to decide whether it's true or completely made up nonsense, okay? I said that with a USB microphone, you can't record more than one person. It is possible to record on your laptop through USB with multiple microphones if you have an interface, which I'm going to call a magic box. I know that's not very technical language, a magic box, but it's essentially a USB interface, and what that does is it's like a box that goes from the microphone to the computer. So you plug your microphone into it, and then from that box, and then the box plugs into your laptop with USB. Okay, and the box itself gives power to the microphones. It sort of you can control the EQ a little bit. And the thing is about it, often you can plug more than one microphone into one of these interfaces. So you can have like several microphones plugged into the same box, and then that goes into your computer through USB. And so that's the solution to wanting to have more than one person on the podcast. All right. So there you go. All right. There you go. Multiple microphones through a magic box or a mixing desk. But again, still not the ultimate solution, because you're still recording through USB onto software on your computer, and the software can go wrong sometimes. All right, good. You're following this, aren't you, Carlos? Yeah, good. You're following it fine. All right, good. Glad to hear it. Now then, it's time for anecdote number one. Are you ready? Are you ready for anecdote number one? Remember, I want you to listen to the story. Is it true or is it not true? Only you can decide. Okay, and here we go. I'm going to play some background music for this bit. Here we go. Okay, so here comes anecdote number one. Remember, is it a true story or is it made up? And here's the story. So, the story is this. Once I shook Mark Hamill's hand. Mark Hamill, that's Luke Skywalker from Star Wars, the actor who plays Luke Skywalker. I shook Mark Hamill's hand. Is it true or is it a lie? Now, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, no, Luke, come on, that's not true. There's no way that's true. You would have mentioned it on the podcast. Ah, but maybe I've been saving it for one of these games. You know, did you think of that? All right. I know you think it's a lie, but is it though? Is it? Is it really? Here's what happened. So it was 1988, and I was in America, in the USA, on holiday with my parents. We were visiting some of my mum's cousins in Delaware, and there was a science fiction exhibition happening, like a kind of expo, science fiction expo. And you know these big sort of science fiction expos where you get some sort of actors from famous science fiction movies who appear, and they speak and they do question and answer sessions, and people dress up as different characters from their favourite movies. I met RoboCop as well, by the way. I also met RoboCop, but the main one was that I met Mark Hamill, the actor who plays Luke Skywalker. So there was this science fiction exhibition, and some people from science fiction movies were there, including Mark Hamill and RoboCop. And Mark Hamill did a question and answer session about Star Wars. And I think they had Mark Hamill, and I think they had R2-D2, or the actor who played R2-D2. Because there was actually an actor in the R2-D2 costume. Is that a costume? Dustbin? Anyway, so there was Mark Hamill and the actor who performed as R2-D2. So afterwards, right, Mark Hamill was like available for autographs and photographs and stuff. And I queued up and I waited and I went up to him, and I was like 11 years old at the time. And I was like really chuffed to see Mark Hamill. And I went up and I was like, oh, Mark Hamill, oh, it's great to see you. I said to him, hey, my name's Luke too. Right, I was like, my name is Luke as well. And he's, to be honest, at that point, he seemed a little bit pissed off. He was like, he kind of laughed in a sarcastic way. And he said, well, actually, my name isn't Luke, it's Mark. But it's nice to meet you. And he kind of looked a bit sort of sarcastic, like he wasn't really happy to be there. And I sort of got the impression, God, Mark Hamill's not that happy. But it was amazing to meet him. And I shook his hand, and he had like a sweaty palm. In like the palm of his hand was kind of sweaty, and he didn't seem all that happy. Okay, so there you go. That's my anecdote about meeting Mark Hamill, the actor who played Luke Skywalker in the Star Wars films. Is it true or is it made up? Only you can decide. The truth will be revealed at the end of the episode. All right, now let's continue with this stuff about recording stuff. So I've talked about recording on your computer and the potential pitfalls and advantages of doing that, okay? And probably using a USB microphone is just a really good way to do it, but software sometimes goes wrong. So the other option that you have is to record into a device, a dedicated audio recording device. And there are a few of them available out there. For example, you could use like an Olympus dictaphone or a Sony dictaphone. Or you can use more advanced stuff, like some products made by a company like Zoom or a company like Tascam, for example. I use Zoom voice recorders. I find them to be really, really good. So these devices, basically, their one job, is to record audio, and that's it. And they record the audio to an SD card, little memory card that goes into the side of the device. And so that's it. So they're very simple, really, in a sense. You know, they're very specific and simple, and so they're very reliable. They basically never go wrong. You know, the only things that really that go wrong with these voice recorders is that you run out of battery or you run out of space on the card. Both of which, I admit, have happened to me. The most frustrating time that happened to me was when I was in San Francisco and I was using my Zoom H1 voice recorder to interview AJ Hogue from Effortless English. And I was talking to AJ Hogue and we were having this really fun conversation and in a hotel lobby, and there were a couple of American women sitting at the other end of the table. And after I talked to AJ for about half an hour, these women were like came over and they were like really curious, and I interviewed them, and then I did a game show with them about American and British English, and it was amazing, and I couldn't believe it was happening. And then at the end I looked down at my voice recorder and it was just blank, nothing, it was just dead. And I was so gutted, and I realized that it had run out of batteries. But that's generally the only sort of thing that goes wrong with these things. They just run out of battery, which is really stupid of me. So I always keep some spare batteries with me. But anyway, the thing about these voice recorders is that they're portable, meaning you can carry them around, you can go out with them and stuff. They're reliable, and it's possible to connect different microphones to some of them. All right, then. So let me tell you about some of the devices I've got. So the most basic one is an Olympus voice recorder. It cost about £30 or £40. And I used to use that in the early days when I realized that recording on my laptop's inbuilt microphone wasn't very good. I would record into my Olympus. I'd hold it in my hand and I'd just record into it like that. And it's very simple and the results were pretty good. Like if you listen to the Brighton Fringe podcast episodes or the original Pink Gorilla story was recorded with one of those. These days I've got a slightly better one. It's like a similar thing but just better. And that's the Zoom H1. This is the one that I was using with AJ Hogue. The Zoom H1 is great. It's got like inbuilt microphones on the top, which record in stereo, and they have this special design where one microphone points to the left and one microphone points to the right, and somehow this allows you to capture good quality sound without any little echo or anything. They pick up the sound really, really well. And so you can talk directly into one of these with a muffler on the top. And I'm going to play you what that sounds like. This is me talking into the Zoom H1 with the muffler on it. And I think I take the muffler off as well, and you can see, hear the sound distorting. But anyway, this is the Zoom H1. You'll see that it's really pretty good, actually. You might not even be able to tell the difference between this recording and, you know, any other thing I do. But anyway, here we go. So now this is me talking into the Zoom H1 with the inbuilt microphone. So this is me just talking into the microphone attached to the top of the device. And it sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I've got another muffler on this one. If I took the muffler off like this, then you're going to get all these plosive sounds as well. Like Peter Piper picked a pack of pickled peppers. That's probably exploding all over the place. Oh, I've dropped the muffler on the floor. It's all right. I can pick it up easily because the Zoom H1... Let me put the muffler back on. Probably hearing all those noises again. So I can pick up something if I've dropped on the floor. I can pick it up easily and keep talking to you because this one is a handheld device. So I can just get up and walk around if I want to. I could come over here and play the guitar if I wanted to. You know, I can move around the place. That's the advantage of this. So this is pretty good, really. I could do the entire thing on this, but I don't for various reasons. Again, can you hear that? Probably lots of handling noise again, which is a bit annoying. But there you go, the Zoom H1 with the inbuilt microphone on the top. Okay, so that's the Zoom H1. And the advantage is that the quality is really good. That it's portable, you can carry it around. It's reliable unless it runs out of batteries. But the limitations are that it's still just one microphone. So you can't, you know, have multiple microphones, just the one. And there's some handling noise, as you heard. So anyway, that's that. Now, what about recording multiple people and making sure that they all have their own microphones so that they don't all have to crowd around one single microphone, and some people end up being quieter if they're smoking cigarettes out the window? How do you, you know, make sure everyone gets their own microphone and you record the whole thing? Well, you're going to need, you know, another... a dedicated recording device, but something a bit more complicated. You can use a device in which you can plug microphones, right? So the thing that I use the most, the thing I always, almost always use to record the podcast is a Zoom H5, which is like the big brother of the Zoom H1. Now, the Zoom H5 is a bit like the Zoom H1 in that it's got these cool inbuilt microphones on the top, so you can record directly into the top with that nice stereo sound. But also, it's got the option to plug in up to four microphones. And that's brilliant. You plug four microphones in, and it can record those four microphones on their own individual tracks. You can control the volume levels of each microphone. And then when you've stopped the recording, it saves each recording as an individual file on the SD card. And then you just transfer all the files into your software, and then you can, you know, like process it and edit it all together and stuff like that. It's really, really good. It's like having a multi-track studio in one little device, and it's small enough to fit in your hand. It takes batteries, so you can take it out into the field. I tend to just keep it plugged in, though, because, you know, then I don't have to worry about batteries. And, you know, and it's very good. The inbuilt microphone on the top of the Zoom H5 sounds like this. I'll just give you an example. I mean, it's just as good as the other Zoom thing I've played to you. You'll see. It's very good. So this is me talking into the top of the Zoom H5, which is like the Zoom H1, but bigger. It's like the bigger brother of the Zoom H1. Me talking into the inbuilt microphones on the top. And this also sounds pretty good. In fact, I imagine that most of you can't really tell the big difference between this one, the Zoom H1, and the USB microphone. They all sound the same, right? One thing about this one is that it's in stereo. So if I move around the device like that, then you get a stereo effect. you can see. All right. And that's it, really. This is the Zoom H5 with the inbuilt microphones in stereo.
I mentioned there that it was in stereo. You probably couldn't notice that because I've just realized that when I do make these episodes, they end up being mono. So mono means that all of the sound, all the two channels, the left speaker and the right speaker, just end up being the same thing. So I tend to just produce the episodes in mono so that if you're listening with one headphone, you get the same thing that you would get with two headphones. So you probably didn't hear the stereo effect there. Sometimes I add stereo, but you know, in this case, there's no stereo. But anyway, so that's the Zoom H5 with the inbuilt microphone on the top. But I said, the thing I said about it, the cool thing is that you can plug microphones into it. And I tend to use dynamic microphones. These are my favorite types of microphone to use. I'm now going to tell you a little bit about two different types of microphone. You've got dynamic mics and condenser microphones, okay? Starting with condenser microphones, these are the sorts of things that you might see in professional radio studios or professional recording studios. Often they're kind of silver, they look really expensive, they sit in these elaborate microphone stands, and they're really flashy looking, and they're really great. Condenser microphones are capable of picking up really, really sensitive like sounds. They're very sensitive microphones. They'll pick up very rich, detailed sound. But because they're so sensitive, they require a kind of a soundproof environment. Also, condenser microphones can be broken quite easily. They don't, you know, you can't carry them around in a bag very easily. You've got to be careful with them. They're very expensive. So I don't use condenser microphones, just too expensive and too sensitive. So instead, I prefer to use dynamic microphones. Now, the most common form of dynamic microphone is the typical microphone that you will see being used on stage. So if you've ever seen a stand-up comedy show, let's say, you know, it's a Louis C.K., you know, comedy special on Netflix or something, chances are he'll be holding a dynamic microphone, probably a Shure SM58. That's the most common model of dynamic microphone. It's like a slim black thing with a domed top, like a meshed dome top. You know, when you see stand-up comedians doing comedy on stage, they have in their hand a microphone. That's probably a Shure SM58 dynamic microphone. And the cool thing about these is that they are really tough, really solid. You can drop them on the floor and they'll be all right. You know, you see musicians sometimes swinging the microphones around over their heads, and these sorts of microphones get beaten up quite a lot, but they're tough. So they don't get damaged that easily. And the other cool thing about that kind of dynamic microphone is that they've got a limited sound capturing space. Right? I mean, for example, the pickup pattern for a dynamic microphone like that is limited to just a few inches around the microphone itself. Now, with some microphones, like maybe some condenser microphones, they will pick up sounds that are coming from quite far away. You can actually probably... Can you hear the glass bottles being broken in the background? I don't know if you can. Someone is clearing... You can hear that? Anyway, the one I'm using is a dynamic microphone. But anyway, if I was using a condenser microphone, those street sounds would be much louder and it would pick up everything. It would pick up the street sounds, the bird noise, the washing machine in the background and stuff. But I'm using a dynamic microphone and it's designed to pick up mainly the noise that's coming from directly in front of it. And the advantage of that is that, you know, it means that you can record in a fairly noisy environment. What are they doing? Someone is just smashing bottles in the street outside my flat. No idea what they're doing out there. Anyway, the advantage of the dynamic microphone is that you can record, right, in a fairly noisy environment and it will pick up mostly what you're saying in front of it. This is why they get used on stage in music shows. So the singer on stage uses this kind of microphone so that the microphone picks up only the singer's voice
and not the rest of the band and not the whole audience, you see? And that makes it really convenient to use them for doing podcasts because you can record without picking up too much background noise, unless there are people outside smashing bottles. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter what microphone you're using. If they're doing that, then it's going to get picked up, but I don't think you mind. All right, so I use dynamic microphones like the Shure SM58, the stand-up comedy microphone, and also the Shure SM7B, which is what I'm talking into right now. Okay, I know that this is very important information for you. If it makes it more interesting, the Shure SM7B, which, if you've seen my videos, it's like the big microphone I talk into sometimes. It's like a black cylinder. It looks quite cool. And it tends, I don't know why, but it's very similar to the stand-up comedy style microphones, but it just seems to pick up sound with a nice, rich tone. And if it makes any difference to you, this is the microphone that was used by Michael Jackson when he recorded Thriller. Not this individual microphone, but this design, this model, has been used by many, many musicians over the years, including David Bowie, and also Michael Jackson on Thriller. So, you know, if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me, basically. And my... Can you... What are they doing? I think this is maybe... people from the Alliance Française, or maybe the Académie Française, the sort of Department of Education that's responsible for protecting the French language, and because they can hear me podcasting in English, they're like, "Oh no, we have to interrupt his English podcast and with the sound of smashing bottles in order to protect the French language." That's obviously what's going on here. So my favourite setup is to use this Zoom H5. With a microphone plugged in. I'm going to give you an example of the Zoom H5 with a stand-up comedy microphone plugged straight into it, and it's probably not going to sound much different to you. It's probably going to sound exactly the same. But if you really pay attention, and this kind of thing is important to you, like it's important to me, then you will notice the difference. Anyway, here's the H5 with a stand-up comedy microphone, a dynamic Shure SM58. Here we go. Now this is me talking into the Zoom H5 with an external dynamic microphone plugged in. This is the Shure SM58, you know, that microphone that you see stand-up comedians using, singers on stage using and stuff. So this is me talking into an SM58 plugged straight into the Zoom. And this is how I record conversations with Amber and Paul. We've all got one of these mics in our hands and we just talk like this. And this sounds pretty good as well, doesn't it? And just like I said in the last little recording, you probably can't tell the difference between this and all the other ones I've played you. The main thing is that the laptop microphone sounds rubbish, but all the other ones sound pretty good. And, you know, this sounds decent, doesn't it, really? I think so. There's one more version, and that is the Zoom H5 with my fancy studio microphone plugged into it through a mixing desk where I've boosted the power. I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. Anyway, this is the Zoom H5 with a stand-up comedy microphone plugged directly into it, and it sounds pretty good. That's not bad. I use that setup on my own when I'm, for example, if I want to have the microphone in my hand, because when I'm using the one I'm using right now, it's in a stand, and it means that I have to sit in a position where my mouth is right in front of it all the time. And if I'm recording for an hour or more than an hour, it means I've got to be in exactly the same body position all the time. It's actually quite exhausting. So sometimes I want to have a microphone in my hand so I can move around, I can lean backwards if I want, I can stand up and sit down, and the microphone's always held in front of my face because I've got it in my hand. So, you know, like, for example, when I did the Pink Gorilla Story 2, I wanted to get decent sound, but I wanted to be able to move around a lot, and so I had the Zoom H5 with the SM58. Oi, French government, you're not going to win. It's not going to happen. Sorry. Okay. All right then. And then finally, oh yeah, what was I going to say? That if I've got Paul and Amber with me, I do it like that. They've all got stand-up comedy microphones. They all go into the H5, and Bob's your uncle, okay? I think it's time for another anecdote, don't you? Okay, let's have another anecdote then. Here we go. Is it true or is it a load of made-up bollocks? Only you can decide. Here we go. So here comes anecdote number two. Actually, if you are from the French government, if you work at Académie Française or the Alliance Française, then you might like this one. So here is anecdote number two. And this one is like this. So my story here is this, that I attended French classes in Paris with an Academy Award winning actress, an Oscar winning actress. So I attended French classes in Paris with a Hollywood actress who won an Oscar once in her career. I'm talking about the actress called Hilary Swank. Do you know who she is, Hilary Swank? To be honest, she hasn't been in many, many movies recently, but she won an Oscar for the film Million Dollar Baby, which was directed by Clint Eastwood. Do you remember that one? It's a movie about... Clint Eastwood is like an old guy who runs a boxing gym, and there's this girl who wants to be a boxer, and he helps to train her to become a boxer. It was called Million Dollar Baby, and she won an Oscar for it. Okay, so I attended French classes in Paris with Academy Award winning actress Hilary Swank. So she was in Paris learning French, and we were in the same school, and I remember seeing her during break times, getting coffee or drinking water or whatever. And once we were both there at the coffee machine, and I was like, I'm going to talk to Hilary Swank. So I was like, I went over to her and was like, hi, you know, hi, hello. And she just didn't seem interested in talking to me at all. She showed no interest in talking to me at all. And it was just like, hi. And then that was it. And I was like, oh God, that was awful. So there's my story. I attended French classes with Academy Award winning actress Hilary Swank, and she didn't want to talk to me. She wasn't interested in me at all. Okay, true or false? True or lie, only you can decide. I will reveal the answer at the end of the episode. Okay then. So, yeah, fine. So then the final, like, setup for recording myself on the podcast is my favourite one. And that's where I use this Zoom H5 recorder thing with a Shure SM7B, the Michael Jackson microphone. But I plug it into a mixing desk first. And the thing about the mixing desk is that it boosts the sound and it allows me to control the EQ. It allows me to control the frequency of the sound. Okay, so the microphone goes into the mixing desk. The mixing desk provides phantom power for the microphone. And then from the mixing desk, I go into the recording device, the Zoom device. And so that basically means that I can control the audio settings for the microphone. So that means I can control the bass, the middle, and the treble. Now let me give you some examples. Right now, this is me turning up the bass. The bass is all the way up. You can hear it's really bassy now. And if I remove the bass, if I turn the bass off like that, then you end up with this kind of sound, and that sounds very kind of tinny, and it doesn't have the nice rich tone that you need when you've got the full bass at the bottom. All right, what I'm doing here is I'm twiddling some knobs on my mixing desk to control the level of bass, middle and treble in order to demonstrate to you how I can use this mixing desk to affect the sound, to tweak the sound of the microphone. Let me bring the bass back up to its normal level. That's good, isn't it? Then the next one is middle. So if I bring the middle up, you can hear that now that there's loads of middle in the voice, which doesn't sound too bad. If I get rid of the middle, then you end up sounding like this, and it's just... It sounds like I'm podcasting from another room, doesn't it? Hello? Hello? Can you hear me? Stop smashing bottles. You know. So middle is really important because I think most people's voices sort of sit in the middle range of the frequency spectrum, I think. Most people's voices are kind of mid-range, so it's important to have some middle in there. And then the top one is the treble. So if I put the treble all the way up, you can hear that it suddenly sounds all it's like snakes everywhere, just loads of snakes. There's not actually any snakes, but it sounds like snakes everywhere, and it's just it's painful. Oh,
treble. I sort of hate treble. I love bass.
I love bass. Bass, bass, bass. In your face, right? I love bass.
But treble is... stop it. In fact, it feels like I'm in an aeroplane. Snakes on a plane. Somebody get these motherfucking snakes off this plane.
All right.
Sort of reduce the treble. But if I cut the treble out completely, then I end up sounding like this. It's like, hello, welcome to Luke's English Podcast. I'm recording this at the bottom of the ocean. And if I remove the middle as well, then, hello, welcome to Luke's English Podcast. I'm recording this one inside a box. I'm stuck in a box. Help! Help, I'm stuck in a box. Okay, so let's bring the middle back in there. I'm okay, I'm out of the box, but I'm in another room. Let me just open the door.
Hello there, welcome back. It's nice to be here. Okay, so there you go. That just gives you an example of how I can sort of, change the sound a little bit using the mixing desk, which is good when I'm at home and I've got the mixing desk plugged in. It's good. If I'm outside, then I'll probably use the Zoom H1, which is really convenient. If I go to Amber's house to record there, I'll take the Zoom H5 with some stand-up comedy microphones. Right, there you go. That's fascinating, isn't it? Absolutely fascinating. All right. Now then, so I've recorded my voice, let's say. Let's say I've recorded my voice. And the next step is to then, like, take that recording and edit it and produce it into an episode of the podcast, okay? So the recording is, it records as a WAV file. So I take this SD card out of the recording device, plug it into my laptop, and then I transfer the audio files into software on the computer, like GarageBand, for example. And the thing with GarageBand is that I can keep saving, I can keep saving the project. And if GarageBand crashes, which doesn't happen very often, but if it does, it's no problem because I've got the master copy on the SD card, so I won't lose the recording. So it's much more reliable to do it like that. So I take the SD card out, put it into the laptop, and then I start editing the stuff in GarageBand. That means just like cutting any little bits out that I don't want to be in the final episode, removing little bits, and also I can do stuff like add bleepy noises. I can add little noises and jingles and sound effects and background effects and things like that. Oh, and by the way, I didn't mention this. You know the Zoom H5, you can plug four microphones into it. You can also plug other things in, like I can plug my laptop in. And that's how I play music in the background like this. I can actually have the laptop going into the Zoom and I can then control sound in the background like that. Okay, so if I can have music going on, I can play you little bits of speech if I want to, like, for example, if I want to have something like this.
Hello, we're talking about language.
Sit down, let's have a chat.
A bit of a chat, sir.
A bit of a chat, yes, Roger, just a bit of a chat.
What about, sir?
About English as a global language.
This is a conversation.
Yes.
I would like to talk to you.
Okay, let's talk. Let's have a quick conversation, huh? What do you think?
And that's what we're going to do.
Away, baby. Let's go.
We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a
conversation
about language.
Okay, so I can sort of play little bits of audio and talk about them at the same time. Okay, so anyway, after I've made the files, put them in GarageBand, edit it together, add little jingles and bleepy noises and things like that, and then I export, when it's ready, I export the whole episode from GarageBand onto my computer as like an audio file, like WAV or AVI, uncompressed audio files. And then I've got this bit of software, which I downloaded from the internet, called the Levelator. I heard about the Levelator from Mark Maron. I don't remember how and when I heard about it from him. He's a famous podcaster from America. But he mentioned once that he uses the Levelator. Motorbike in the background there. He uses the Levelator to sort of clean up and boost his tracks. So I stick everything into the Levelator. I don't know what it does. It basically removes some of the background noise, some interference and things like that. It also boosts the volume of everything and just makes it sound a bit more awesome. I don't really know how it does it.
And then out of the levelator, I get a nice, good quality episode. And I then have to convert that to an MP3. I compress it to MP3 using another piece of software. Lots of compression going on, lots and lots of times. I have to re-encode and recompress the stuff. I'm sure that there must be people out there who really know what they're doing regarding sound recording and stuff like that. You're probably thinking, oh, you're doing it all wrong, Luke. Oh, I wouldn't do it like that. Well, this is just the way that I've learned how to do it. This is just the way it works for me, okay? I've just learned how to do this over the years. So once I've got my MP3, I then have to upload it to the internet. I upload it to Libsyn. So I upload it and then add the name of the episode, add any other details. And then I also have to create the episode page on the website, which has got the embedded player, a download link, text and notes, any pictures, embedded videos, anything else. So that goes up. And then I publish the two of them, publish the episode and publish the website page. And they go up, and some of that stuff gets automatically added to different social media. So a link goes up on Twitter, and it also goes up onto YouTube and things like that. I publish it on social media. I have to check the social media, make sure it all works, make sure all the links are correct, there are no mistakes. And then that's it, you know, that's it. The episode has gone from an idea when I was on the bus through to me recording it, through to me like editing it and developing it and producing it, and then publishing it, and then people listening to it, and then hopefully one person on a bus gets the giggles. That's the idea, and hopefully also people learn English. Okay, so there you go. That's the whole process from start to finish. I hope you like it. I hope you appreciate what I do. I hope I didn't say anything wrong. I don't think I did I? I mean, I sort of casually insulted the French government, but you know, everyone does that, don't they? All in all, the process of making episodes of the podcast can be quite long and complex. You have to come up with the idea, you have to develop it, yada, 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 right? It could take me ages, to be honest. But I am obliged to make the whole thing as quick as possible because time is money, you know? Like, the less time I spend on it, the better, really. But, you know, some episodes take longer than others. And that's just the way it is. But I hope you appreciate the work. If you want to support me, you can do it in a few different ways. You could give me feedback. You know, just let me know how it is for you. I'll take your feedback on board. Right, if you like the podcast, write a review on iTunes. Let people know. If you like the podcast, tell people about it. If you don't like the podcast, just don't say anything. Okay. But if you like it, write a review on iTunes or tell someone that you think might enjoy the show. That would be great because word of mouth is one of the best forms of marketing. In terms of marketing, like people sometimes ask me, how do you get people to listen to your podcast? What's your marketing advice? I don't really know. I think one of the main things is you've just got to put your heart and soul into it, make it as good as you can. Ask people to rate it on iTunes, ask people to share it, and then hopefully word of mouth will be the thing that spreads the knowledge of your podcast, that if people like it, if it's really good, then they will just tell other people about it, I hope. So if you are one of those ninjas on a bus, just keeping yourself to yourself, I'm just going to listen to Luke's English podcast and everything's going to be fine. What you should do now, right, do this, okay? Can you do this? I'd like you to stand up. Yep, that's right. Don't actually do it. It's just a joke. Don't actually do it. Well, you could if you want, but don't. It's just a joke. But stand up, go to the front of the bus, say to the driver, driver, pull over immediately. I've got an announcement to make. If the driver's got a microphone, grab the microphone from the driver. You might need to like push his face just to make sure he doesn't attack you. Hold his face with your hand. With the other hand, use the microphone to make an announcement to the bus. You'd say, dear members of the bus, I've got an announcement to you. I want you all to listen to Luke's English podcast. I know that you've seen me giggling sometimes, and you've been wondering what's wrong with me. I'm not mentally ill. I'm fine. Thanks for the concern. I know that none of you were actually concerned, but anyway, I want to share something with you. You've got to listen to Luke's English podcast. Go to teacherluke.co.uk and download his episodes. They're available on iTunes, and then you too can Also, enjoy the podcast on the bus. In fact, driver, maybe you could do this. Driver, maybe you can just connect my iPod to the sound system on the bus and we can all listen to Luke's English podcast all at the same time. I'm sure that would make everyone really, really happy on their Monday morning, early morning commute to work. Okay? That, if you could do that, that would be great. Don't actually do it. It's just a joke. You could also do things like send a donation. You know, you can do a one-off donation or a repeated donation with PayPal. If PayPal's not available, you can send me an international bank transfer. If you really want to send me some money, you can do it. The details are on my website in the menu under my name. Look for my name, Luke. L-U-K-E, Luke. Not look, not luck, Luke. And you'll see it says support Luke with a donation. Click that and you'll find ways to help me if you want to. I know that some countries don't use PayPal. Very sorry about that. I'm working on setting up other systems. Check out my sponsors, iTalki, Spoken, Audible, and so on, Spread the word, okay? Send me requests, send me suggestions. They'll all go on the to-do list and some other things like that. Now, it's time for anecdote number three, okay? Anecdote number three, and it's coming up in just a moment. Da-di-da-di-da. I'm just... okay, here we go. Anecdote number three. And let's get the anecdote music, the mysterious anecdote music in the background. Oh, God, where is it? Just bear with me a second while I find the anecdote music. Okay, and it's this one, isn't it? Okay, here we go. Here comes anecdote number three. Okay. This is the third anecdote. Is it true or is it a lie? Only you can decide. Here's the story. So... I once saved a badger's life. Now, you might be thinking, okay, what's a badger? Well, a badger is a common wild animal in the UK. Badgers are basically like this little creatures. I don't know, it's like the size of a cat, maybe a bit smaller. They're short-legged, so they've got small, like short legs, so they're quite close to the ground. Short-legged omnivores, so that means they eat like vegetables and meat. They're not carnivores, they're not herbivores, they're omnivores. They eat meat and veg. Short-legged omnivores in the same family as otters, polecats, weasels. To be honest, if you don't know what a badger is, you probably don't know what a weasel is either. But anyway, little kind of creatures from the British countryside. They're grey and black, with black and white stripes along the length of their face. They've got kind of a long nose. They're very common in the UK countryside. They often appear on country roads and you see them in back gardens. They tend to feed on slugs. There we go, slugs again on the podcast. They tend to feed on slugs, snails and other little creepy crawlies in the garden. And I once saved the life of one of these beasts. Okay, so here's what happened. I was watching TV one evening at my parents' house, and I heard a bump from the other room. It sounded like this. Like that. Thud. Like a bump sound from the other room. And I thought, hey, funny. What was that? That's not a normal noise. So I went to investigate. I went into the other room, and I saw through the window that a badger had knocked itself unconscious by headbutting the window of our French doors. So in one of the rooms, we had French doors. In France, they don't call them French doors. They just call them doors in France. Anyway, in England, French doors are like doors, double doors that have windows in them. And you can open them up into the garden and it like, you know, opens the house into the garden. So double doors with windows. And so this badger had knocked itself unconscious by headbutting the window of our French doors. It obviously hadn't noticed the glass and it was like, do-do-do-do-do, badger, 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 walking around, being a badger, doom, knocked itself out. So, against my better judgment, so I kind of thought, oh, I probably shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway because I'm a hero to the badgers. Against my better judgment, I took the badger inside and I kept it warm, right? I fed it with some bread and milk and a little bit of bacon, right? Because I had some bacon, so I was like, I'll feed it bacon. It's probably going to like the bacon. What animal would not like bacon, I thought to myself, innocently. I didn't seem to know... It didn't seem to know where it was. It was like all sort of disorientated, like, oh, God, where am I? What's going on? Who are you? What's happening? It was all disorientated. But when it did regain full consciousness, there was a moment where it looked up into my eyes Right, I was like there holding it in my arms, and it looked up into my eyes, and we just sort of shared a moment, me cradling the badger in my arms, and it looking up at me. Like that. And we stayed like that for a moment. But eventually I snapped out of it. I was like, no, this can't happen. It would never work. You're a badger, I'm a human. It could never be. We're from two different worlds, goddammit. It could never work. I mean, you're a badger, for Christ's sake. What would people say? What about my career? And needless to say, the badger didn't take the rejection very well at all. I was like, no, badger, I can't do this. She didn't take it well, and she immediately flew into a rage, a badger rage. She teared off into the house. She went into my bedroom, started ripping my clothes up. She got my clothes out of the wardrobe, started ripping them to pieces. I mean, there's, you know, hell hath no fury like a badger scorned, let me tell you. A rejected badger is a dangerous thing. It went into my bedroom, started ripping up my clothes like that. And then it just ran away. It disappeared into the night, right? Disappeared into the night, I imagine, to go and spread nasty rumours about me to the squirrels and the hedgehogs. I imagine even, you know, to this... I can't imagine the things that this badger must have said. Oh, you know that Luke who lives in the house? Right, he's a right twat. You know, he thinks he's funny. He's not funny at all. He's not romantic at all. He's rubbish. He's terrible in bed. I imagine that the badger's been spreading all kinds of lies about me. I've never seen her again since, but I do think about her sometimes. And then I just stop thinking about her and I do something else. So there you go, true or completely made up fiction, only you can decide. All right, I'm going to tell you the answers in a moment, remember? Okay, so what was I saying before? I was saying, how can you support me? Another thing you could do is you could take my online survey. You'll see it on the page for this episode. This is a long-running survey that I launched a few years ago. It's a big sort of survey, basically all the different types of episode. I want you to tell me what kind of episodes you like or don't like. You could also send me some feedback using the feedback form on the website. Okay, there's a feedback form, you'll see it. Just tell me what kind of episodes you like and give me some examples if possible. What kind of episodes you don't like and examples. I mean, I sort of say that with some reluctance because I don't like to know what you don't like, to be honest, because, I mean, it's just, oh, so painful. But I suppose I should, you know, try and, you know, get your honest feedback. So tell me what episodes you like with examples, episodes you don't like with examples, if there are any. I don't really want to know what you don't like, because it's not nice, but I should read that stuff. But anyway, you know, take the online survey, give me some online feedback. Obviously, I can't please everyone. I shouldn't try to do that. But feedback can be very helpful. But even still, ultimately, this is my project. I decide how I do it. And much of the time, my guiding force in this is just my instinct or experience. I just use the force. I stretch out with my feelings and use the force. And then record the podcast. In terms of long-term strategy, basically, I plan to just continue doing the podcast until I run out of ideas or until I just can't do it anymore. Maybe when the French government finally do catch up with me, I don't know. But I'm also working out ways to bring some revenue in. I've been talking about that for years, just so I can justify spending my time on this. I'm not going to talk much about that now because it's all a work in progress. All right, then. So what about those anecdotes then? What about the anecdotes? What do you think? Were they true or not? The first one was that I met Mark Hamill at a science fiction exhibition thing. And I shook his hand and his hand was all sweaty and he didn't seem very happy. He seemed a bit depressed. And I said to him, oh, my name's Luke as well. And he was like, my name's not Luke, it's Mark. Anyway, nice to meet you. Right, what about that one? Well, no, not true. Completely made up. A total lie. But I did meet RoboCop. That part is true. I met RoboCop. And, in fact, I shook RoboCop's hand. And he was sweating a lot. I mean, this was some sort of science fiction conference in Boston in the summer. And RoboCop was really hot inside his suit. I didn't realise that RoboCop could sweat. Didn't realise like robots could sweat. I mean, well, technically with RoboCop, he's, what is it, half man, half machine, all cop. Well, I tell you what, the half part of that, the man part of RoboCop was sweating enough for, like, you know, a whole person, let me tell you. Anyway, I shook RoboCop's hand, that was cool. But I didn't meet Mark Hamill, that's a complete lie. So if you got that one right, 1 point to you, well done. Clap, 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 give yourself a pat on the back. The second anecdote was that I went to school to learn French in Paris with Hilary Swank, the Oscar-winning actress, Academy Award winner, Hilary Swank, from the movie Million Dollar Baby. Well, that is true, ladies and gentlemen. That's absolutely true. I did once bump into Hilary Swank in the school, and a few times, actually, and once I decided I'd try and talk to her, hi, and she just went, hi, and then walked off. I'm like, God, sorry. Sorry for trying to be nice. She seemed like a nice person. She was probably just... It was probably a case of, like, you know, no, I'd rather just speak French. Maybe it was one of those things, and I approached her in English. I don't know, but she didn't want to talk to me. Maybe, you know, she thought, I can't talk to him, because if I do, I'll fall in love with him. Or maybe she just thought, who's this asshole? I don't know. The third story was that I rescued a badger. I saved a badger's life, and we had, like, a moment. We shared a moment, and then I rejected the badger, and it flew off in a sort of angry rage and then spread evil rumours about me to the squirrels and hedgehogs. Obviously, that was complete bollocks and not true at all. Never happened. I did rescue a bird once. I rescued a little bird that flew into the window. Doom! I remember just finding a bird on the doorstep. Oh, a little bird, like, knocked itself unconscious on the window. Stupid bird. Couldn't see the glass. Well, not that stupid. It's glass, isn't it? Can't see it. Anyway, the bird was, like, knocked out, and we rescued it. Like, my dad, my mum, and my brother are the four of us. We, like, took this bird in, and we fed it some cat food. Because, you know, the closest thing we had, we didn't have bird food. We had, like, other animal food. So, like, sorry, I know you're not a cat, but this is the best we can do. And it ate the cat food, and it sort of lay there in like a tea towel. And then it woke up, and it was like, fuck, I'm in a house. And it tried to escape, and it flew around the room a little bit. And then we opened the window, and it fucked off into the sky. True story. But the thing about the badger, completely made up. First one was a lie, second one true, third one a lie. So how many points did you get, ladies and gents? How many points did you get? Thank you so much for listening to this episode. And thanks for listening to me rambling on about, like, you know, the podcast. I look forward to your comments and things. That's it. All right. Have a nice day or evening or morning or afternoon or early evening or late evening or early morning or whatever it is you're doing, wherever you are. Have a nice one, and I'll speak to you again on the podcast soon. Thanks for listening. Goodbye. Bye. 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 Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.